Welcome back to the Deep Dive.
Yeah.
Today, we're going deep on something a little different,
Yeah.
an investor update. And
Interesting.
this is a really cool look into how a real investor thinks, someone who's putting their money where their mouth is and making decisions.
Yeah, I love that.
So we're going to be looking at Tokio's portfolio.
Okay.
And there is a ton to unpack here. We've got analysis of motor stocks, which are those high-growth companies.
Right.
We've got updates on some massive players like MasterCard, BlackRock, and even Adobe.
Wow.
And to top it all off, there's some insights from Robert Kapito himself.
Wait, the Robert Kapito,
Yeah.
the president of BlackRock,
And what's really cool is that it's not just like,
name dropping, like his background and what he has to say, actually connect to some of the decisions that Tokyo is making.
Exactly. So let's start there.
Okay.
So the update kicks off with a little bio on Capito, and it is impressive.
Yeah. What stood out to you?
Well, it's clear that he's not just some like figurehead at BlackRock, right?
Right.
This is someone who helped build BlackRock into what it is today alongside Larry Fink. And there's even speculation that he might take over as chairman eventually.
Oh, wow. So we're talking top of the finance world here.
Absolutely.
And Tokyo is including his thinking in their update. It's
Yeah.
like a sneak peek into how the big guys think.
Exactly. And understanding Capito's perspective,
Yeah.
I think it's important because it helps us interpret Tokio's own investment choices.
Yeah, for sure. Especially when we get to BlackRock later.
Oh, yeah, that's going to be good. But before we get into specific companies,
Okay.
the update actually reveals something super interesting about Tokio's overall approach.
Okay.
They've divided their portfolio into three distinct categories:
Okay.
Eichen, Motor, and Favorin. I know.
It's interesting. What
Well,
do you think about that kind of three-pronged strategy?
this is where I think we start to see the sophistication of Tokyo's thinking.
Yeah.
They're not just chasing the latest hot stock tip. They're building a portfolio that balances risk and reward,
I like it.
right? Aiming for both stability and growth.
Pick it down for us.
So Eichen,
Okay.
which I think is German for oaks,
Ah, I see.
represents the foundation of the portfolio.
Okay.
These are your blue chip companies, solid
Yeah.
small caps, the investments you make for the long haul.
Right.
Tokyo's targeting about 6-7% annual return from this segment.
That's reasonable.
Yeah, a reasonable expectation for steady long-term growth.
Makes sense, like building a solid base for the portfolio.
Yeah, exactly. And then we have Motor.
Motor, okay.
And I'm guessing this is where things get a little bit more revved up.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Motor is all about high-growth companies with strong earnings potential.
Got it.
These are the companies that Tokyo believes will drive the portfolio performance.
Okay.
I think double-digit returns, maybe even more.
All right, so we got the steady base, we got the growth engine. What about Favoriton?
Does that translate to favorites?
Yeah.
Got it. This is the venture capital arm of the portfolio.
Interesting.
Newer investments,
Oh.
innovative business models,
Okay.
undervalued companies. Tokyo's probably willing to take some calculated risks here, looking for big potential upside.
So even just based on these three categories, we see that Tokyo has a really deliberate and diversified approach.
Absolutely. It speaks to thoughtfulness and strategic planning that's not always there,
Yeah.
even from seasoned investors.
I'm intrigued to see how they're actually applying this to their specific holdings.
Me too.
Okay.
Well, buckle up, listeners, because in the next part of our deep dive, we're going to be exploring those exciting motor stocks,
Can't wait.
MasterCard, BlackRock, and Adobe. It's going to be a fascinating ride.
Especially those BlackRock insights, given the Capito connection.
Oh, yeah.
This is where it could get really interesting.
I'm excited.
Me too.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's dive into those motor stocks, those high growth companies. First up, MasterCard,
Love that. Okay.
the company that everybody thinks of when they think about credit cards.
Right, exactly. But Tokyo sees them as so much more.
Yeah, way more.
The update actually calls them a three-in-one player.
Three in one.
They're big in fintech, obviously, with payments, but they're also moving into cybersecurity and what they call online business optimization.
So they're not just processing payments anymore.
No, they're not. And to prove it, they've made some big acquisitions lately.
Oh, yeah. Like what?
Like Recorded Future, a threat intelligence company, for $2.65 billion.
Wow.
Big money. And then there's Minna Technologies, which is all about managing those online subscriptions.
Oh, yeah. Those are everywhere.
I know, I've got like a million of them.
Me too.
So this acquisition strategy shows that MasterCard is serious about shaping its future.
Not just resting on their laurels.
Exactly. They're moving into areas that are growing fast and are super important in our digital world.
That's smart.
But here's where things get interesting.
Okay.
Along with these acquisitions, they also announced some layoffs.
Layoffs.
Yeah, about 1,000 employees.
That's interesting. They're buying other companies but letting people go.
Right. So it seems like they're laser focused on efficiency and making sure everything aligns with their strategy.
Like they're saying, we're growing, but we're also streamlining things.
Yeah, making sure every dollar counts. And speaking of growth, there's another interesting development.
What's that?
MasterCard is getting into AI.
AI?
Yeah, with something called Shopping Muse.
Okay, I've never heard of that.
So this is a tool that uses AI to personalize recommendations for shoppers.
So they're not just processing payments anymore. They're trying to influence what people buy.
That's right. Using data and AI to be a part of the decision-making process.
That's powerful.
It is. And it seems to be working for them.
Yeah. How so?
Well, the update mentions their net margin.
Okay.
45%.
45%.
That's insane.
That's high.
To put that in perspective, British American Tobacco, which is known for being very profitable, is only at 30%.
So MasterCard is operating on a whole other level.
They are. And that translates into strong earnings and free cash flow.
That's what you want to see.
Exactly. And Tokyo even projects potential returns of 8% per year based on discounted cash flow. Or even 13% using the price-to-earnings ratio.
Okay. So MasterCard seems to be doing really well.
They are. But let's move on to another motor stock.
Okay. Which one?
BlackRock.
Ah, BlackRock. This is where that Robert Caputo connection comes in.
Exactly. So what jumps out at you about this section?
Well, they start by talking about something called long-term net inflows.
Right.
Which sounds pretty technical, but I'm guessing it's basically a measure of investor confidence.
Yeah, you got it. Are investors putting more money into BlackRock funds or taking it out?
And the numbers Tokyo presents are pretty amazing.
$221 billion flowed to BlackRock in Q3 of 2024.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
That's a huge vote of confidence.
It really shows you how dominant BlackRock is in the asset management world.
Absolutely. And the update also mentions their assets under management.
Yeah.
Staggering $11.5
trillion. $11.5
trillion. I know that's bigger than the GDP of many countries.
That's crazy. We're talking about a financial behemoth here.
We are, but they're not just sitting around counting their money.
What are they doing?
They're making moves into private markets.
Private markets?
Yes. Yeah, they acquired Preqin, a data provider for alternative investments, for $3.2 billion. And then there's the acquisition of Global Infrastructure Partners, or GIP.
So private markets, that means investments that aren't traded on public stock exchanges, right?
Exactly. Things like private equity, private debt, infrastructure projects, real estate.
Okay, so why is BlackRock so interested in this space?
Well, for a few reasons.
Okay.
First, private markets have the potential for higher returns than public markets.
Got it.
They can also offer diversification for investors.
Okay.
But maybe most importantly, BlackRock is positioning itself to meet the growing demand for these types of investments.
From who?
From big institutional investors, like pension funds and sovereign wealth funds.
So they're tapping into a whole new market.
Exactly, one that's growing fast. But with all these acquisitions and expansion, how is BlackRock actually performing?
Yeah, are they making money?
Well, the update highlights their strong balance sheet and low debt.
Always a good sign.
They have a debt-to-equity ratio of 28%.
That's pretty healthy.
Which is important, especially in a market that could get volatile.
Absolutely. Their return on equity is decent, 15%, projected to hit 17% next year.
Nice.
But Tokyo does point out that BlackRock's average annual earnings growth over the past decade has been 7.1%.
Which is a little underwhelming.
Especially compared to MasterCard's 13.7% growth over the same period.
But Tokyo still sees potential for solid returns.
How much?
They're projecting a potential annual return of 5% based on discounted cash flow.
Okay.
Or 11% using the price-to-earnings ratio.
So while BlackRock's growth might not be as explosive as some of the other motor stocks,
right,
it's still considered a good long-term investment.
Absolutely.
Okay.
So we've covered MasterCard and BlackRock now. Let's talk about the third motor stock.
Right. Which one's that?
Adobe.
Adobe. They've been in the news a lot lately, especially with that whole Figma thing.
Yeah, that was a wild ride. But before we get into that, let's break down Adobe's core business.
Okay, sounds good.
So they have three main revenue streams.
Right.
First up, Document Cloud, which is all about document management, e-signatures, that kind of thing.
Okay.
That makes up about 15% of their revenue.
Got it.
Then there's Creative Cloud, the big one.
Yeah, Photoshop, Illustrator, all the good stuff.
Exactly. That accounts for a massive 60% of their revenue.
Wow.
And finally, there's Experience Cloud, which focuses on online sales and marketing tools for businesses.
Okay, so that makes up the remaining 25%.
Exactly. So they have a pretty diverse revenue stream with Creative Cloud leading the charge.
That makes sense.
But the update points out that Adobe is facing a challenge.
What's that?
Maintaining growth in a really competitive market.
Yeah, with all those startups popping up.
Exactly. Their growth isn't as fast as it used to be.
How much are they growing?
Third quarter revenue growth was only 11%.
11%?
Not bad.
Yeah.
But maybe not what investors were hoping for.
So how are they adapting to this changing environment? AI seems to be the answer for everyone these days.
It really does. And Adobe is no exception. They have a suite of AI-powered tools called Firefly.
Firefly.
And it's making some serious waves.
How so?
Over 4.5 billion images have been created using it since it launched.
That's incredible.
Yeah. So Adobe is successfully incorporating AI into their products. But here's the thing. AI is both a solution and a challenge for them.
Wait, how does that work?
Well, on the one hand, AI is helping them innovate and attract new users.
Right.
But remember, AI is a fast-moving field, and those startups we talked about are using it too.
Right, so Adobe has to keep pushing to stay ahead.
Exactly, and then of course there's the Figma situation.
Oh yeah, that didn't go so well.
It didn't. They ended up paying a $1 billion penalty fee for the failed acquisition.
Ouch.
And to try to reassure investors, they launched a massive $25 billion share buyback program.
Wow, so they're trying to boost their stock price?
Yeah, but Tokyo highlights a different perspective. They talk about the flywheel effect.
Flywheel effect.
Yeah, of Creative Cloud and Experience Cloud working together.
Interesting. Tell me more about that.
So Tokyo believes that these two segments create a powerful synergy.
Okay.
Data from Experience Cloud can inform and enhance the creative process in Creative Cloud. Leading to better content and ultimately more sales.
So it's like a closed loop. The two segments feed off each other.
Exactly, driving growth and customer satisfaction.
That's a cool concept.
So despite the challenges, Kokio is optimistic about Adobe's future.
Yeah, well, they're a powerhouse.
They are, and they project a potential annual return of 21% based on the price-to-earnings ratio.
21%? That's huge.
Or 10-11% using discounted cash flow.
So while there are headwinds, they still see Adobe as a long-term winner.
Yeah, okay. We've covered a lot of ground with these motor stocks.
We have.
What do you think we should look at next?
Well, Tokyo's update also gives us some details about their actual stock transactions during November and their overall market outlook.
Right.
I think it would be interesting to see how they're adjusting their portfolio based on what's happening in the world.
Yeah. Let's see how they're reacting to real-world events. So we've seen how Tokyo thinks about those high-growth companies, the motor stocks.
Yeah.
But the update actually gives us a peek at their actual trades in November.
Oh, cool. It's like seeing their trading journal.
Exactly. They're putting those ideas into action.
I like it. So what moves did they make?
Well, one big sale was Heidelberg Materials, a construction company.
Heidelberg Materials.
They sold their entire position.
Okay. And how did they do?
100% profit.
Wow. Good timing.
Right. But why sell a stock that's doing so well?
Yeah, that's a good question.
So Tokyo explains, they always saw it as a short-term trade.
Okay.
Aiming for like 60-70% return.
And they beat that.
Yeah. So textbook example of taking profits while you can.
Don't get greedy, right?
Exactly.
What?
But they also increased their cash position to 20%.
20%? That's a lot. What's the thinking there?
Well, this is where the bigger picture comes in. Okay. Tokyo specifically mentions concerns about what's happening in Ukraine.
Ah, so they're seeing more risk in the market.
Exactly. And they're being cautious.
Makes sense. So even experienced investors like Tokyo,
yeah,
they're paying attention to what's happening in the world.
Absolutely. They're adapting to those events.
It's a good reminder that staying informed isn't just about companies.
Right.
It's about the whole picture, economics, geopolitics, the things that can impact your investments.
Totally. Well, there you have it, folks.
A deep dive into Tokyo's world.
We've covered so much.
Robert Capito, MasterCard, Adobe, those challenges.
All those insights, those decisions.
You've seen how a smart investor thinks.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But just a reminder, this was Tokyo's journey.
Right.
Not financial advice.
Always do your own research.
Yeah. Think about your own goals, your own risk tolerance.
Talk to a professional.
Always good advice.
Yeah.
But as you keep learning about investing,
yeah,
think about those takeaways.
Like what?
Like that three-part strategy, Eichen, Motor, Favoriton. A great way to build a balanced portfolio.
And those companies we talked about.
Yeah. MasterCard, BlackRock, Adobe.
Are those worth exploring for you?
Based on what you learned today.
It's amazing what you can learn from a deep dive.
I know. It's incredible. Even in this world of information overload.
Taking the time to really dig in.
That's what it's all about, folks. That's the deep dive.
Until next time.
Happy investing, everyone.